It's good to see you, Soren.
It's Bjorn, Chev. You know that. I don't know why we have to keep doing this conversation, especially on air.
Sure. And the point is, it's good to see you. It's good to be back in the booth with you. And this is going to be a fun one. I'm really looking forward to this one. Now that we got our pilot episode got green lit, and now we can really go off the rails.
All right, Chevy, we are live.
Hello, Adobe Radio. I want to start off with an apology. Last week, I lost my temper a little bit because my intern, Soren...
Bjorn, Chev, my name is Bjorn Duke. Bjorn Duke, can you just get it right, please?
Sorry, Bjorn. It's just so confusing. You all look the same to me.
What?
No, I mean DJs, not people from Sacramento. I have nothing but love for the people of Sacramento. Cowtown. Love it up there. Leafy little villages and boroughs. I've always been quite fond of Sacktown. Anyways, I wanted to apologize because Bjorn played a song by Blink-182, and apparently I was rather dismissive and disdainful about this song. So for the fans of Blink-182, I just want to explain what disdainful means. This word means full of or expressing contempt for someone or something regarded as unworthy or inferior. So, to extend an olive branch, I want to try again and see if one of their songs can help mend the divide. All right, interesting sonics at the get-go. I like this so far. Has a wistful feeling to it that's pulling me in. This is the same band. This is that Blink band, the same one that you played last week that I thought was so terrible. Again, I apologize for that outburst. I like this. I like this so far. This is really good. I might have to change my tune about this band. This is really working for me. Oh, you know what? I had a feeling that drop was coming, but I didn't know that it would work on me like a dream like it is right now. Wow, this is just absolutely wonderful. Good stuff. I love Blink. What can I say? I like this band a lot now. I wish we had time to play this whole song, the whole record. I wish we had time to play every single Blink-182 album that there is, and I would just give my thoughts about it, because I tell you what, I rarely say that I was wrong, but when I am wrong, I catch it, I admit it, I make it right. This is what making amends and restitution is all about. It's a very important spiritual principle, and no one is above fault. No one is above making mistakes from time to time. Even Sherman Mustang.
It's Taco Tuesday again.
You must hang with Chevy Mustang.
Dial me up, cause you must hang with Chevy Mustang for a while. Dial me up, cause you must hang with Chevy Mustang for a while. Dial me up, cause you must hang with Chevy Mustang for a while.
All right, so yes, it's me, Chevy Mustang, back with you again, and I want to give any new listeners, and even some of you returning listeners, another little peek into my past. I was born in Fresno, and I had quite an idyllic childhood in Fresno, and a lot of people are familiar with, say, Napa, Sonoma, Guerneville, Stellenbosch, Mendoza Valley in Argentina, Marlboro, New Zealand, all of these great places for producing wines. A lot of people don't know that Fresno is actually one of the finest wine producers in the world. And I have these absolutely wonderful memories of being a boy, running through the lanes of the vineyards, crushing the vintage with my feet, getting the grape juice all over my face and hands, and laughing as I would help to produce the wines. I found that when I was doing this, it was really quite meditative. There was something mindless about it in such a deep way. Just feeling the grapes ooze through my toes and feeling the tickle, tickle, tickle of the grapes running down my face and into my armpits and everywhere, really. I had so much fun doing this. It's another just glimpse into my past in Fresno, well before I came down to Los Angeles and inevitably became a big star and a podcast host and a singer and a teacher and all of the various things that I do in this modern renaissance that I am helping to shepherd in. So I hope you find that helpful, and let's get on with the show.
And now it's time for Capital T Truth with Chevy Mustang.
So just going to read a quick article here from the New York Times about the music business, Shiv. This is from the New York Times. A lady called Tammy Combs, she's a 58-year-old yoga instructor from Indiana, bought concert tickets to see the Rolling Stones, Elton John.
Do you have a photo? Is there a photo of her?
No, it's just a print article, unfortunately.
How old?
She's 58 years old, a yoga instructor.
All right.
I mean, I'll just summarize. She says, look, she bought a bunch of tickets to see like the Rolling Stones, Elton John, Chicago.
Sure.
But after this coronavirus thing hit, all the concerts were postponed and she wants her money back. She says she's got about $3,000 tied up in these tickets.
It's a lot of money.
And she says, this is an actual quote from her. She says, this is my money that they are holding hostage. And the article goes on to say that she's far from alone in the pandemic, and it's triggering widespread anger at ticketing companies like Ticketmaster and StubHub. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on this and see what you think about this.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm very sympathetic to the writer of this note, and my heart goes out to her. I too would be disappointed also if I bought Rolling Stones tickets. All right. So here's the thing I want you to remember. Okay. A company like Ticketmaster, you want to think of them as this faceless monolith, this big evil corporation that just wants to take and keep your money. All right. Think about this for a second. All right. The person who's the number one top dog, the Chevy Mustang, so to speak, of Ticketmaster is a human being. This is a person. All right. It's a male or female human. It's a biped. It's someone probably not unlike you in a lot of ways. All right. They need shelter, they need food, they need love, they need the human touch. In an interesting way, it's built into your question because you said they're taking your money hostage, all right? Is that money? Can money be taken hostage? I'm asking you. I'm not going to give you the easy answer for that. Can money be taken hostage like a person? And if so, all right, then is this corporation called Ticketmaster, who you probably think is the big bad guy? Let's anthropomorphize them too. All right. If we're going to do that with the currency, then let's do that with big bad Ticketmaster. They're people too. So that's my lesson. Long way of saying, I know that I go on these when the spirit moves me. Sometimes I can go on and on. But I want to say this. For me, I am holding the job creators and the landlords in my heart, in my thoughts and in my prayers right now, because these people are suffering too. All right, if you haven't already, you can follow me on social media at the Chevy Mustang. That's at the Chevy Mustang on Twitter and Instagram.
Dynamite and kerosene, merchants.
Your fuel lips gone numb. Fall, but it's the only Fresno local news update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Paul reporting for the Eagle, KFFE, Fresno's only local news station. I was able to do a bit more digging into last week's story about the ongoing argument between HOA members and their vice president, Michael Sense. The actual president of the HOA, Ron Johnson, has been hospitalized for the past 3 weeks due to a hit-and-run bicycle accident that occurred within the community. The criminal investigation is ongoing, and when I reached out to local authorities, they declined to comment any further than to say that they were conducting interviews with various members of the community. Now, while they didn't actually say this, I can't help but wonder if they suspect that a community member may have been involved in the hit and run. Meanwhile, the vote is still held up in the HOA board subcommittee. Back to you, Chevy.
Well, interesting. A lot of interesting updates on this story. Remember, they were first arguing about the speed limit, but interesting to see where this story is going.
To be honest with you, I have been able to think about little else since last week's show because this story has just been playing and replaying in my mind. What it sounds like to me, and granted, I don't know all the ins and outs of this particular case, but I'm very well acquainted with Fresno and with the districting and the mapping, the various municipalities, and the way that government works in Fresno, or should I say, doesn't work in Fresno. Now, without trying to sound too alarmist, there has been, for a long time now, there has been corruption in the Fresno government, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little bit of knicker-knackering going on right now with some of these details and a little fudging of this and a little smushing of that. And I don't like to use onomatopoeias too often because this isn't a comic book, it's the Chevy Mustang radio show. But here's the thing. I'm very suspicious of the first fellow, and the second fellow sounds pretty good to me, but I'm going to leave it at that for now. I don't want to say too much. Without saying too much, I have been getting death threats from some people at high levels of government.
So, wow. So, I mean, you're suggesting that you agree that with what Tyler's saying, that perhaps Michael Sense was involved in the bicycle accident?
You know, when Skylar has a funny feeling about something, when he has a little sort of tickle in his mind about when he's getting suspicious about something, I've learned to trust that. I've known Skylar for a really long time. And I trust his gut. I trust his microbiome, big time.
That's interesting. Now, in full disclosure, we should say this, you know, obviously this is the news and we take this very seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have known Tyler since like the sixth or seventh grade.
No, it wasn't that far back. I believe it was right around the sixth or seventh grade that he and I met. And we've been close.
That's what I said.
All right, that's fine. But he and I have been close. Point being, without needing to provide a specific date or something, which seems like a little bit of an overdue, all right? I realize you're trying to produce the show, but let's not try to do too much, Soren, all right? Point being, Skylar and I have been friends for a very long time.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear to the listeners, so to maintain our journalistic integrity, you know?
Understood.
Johnny Cash, God's Gonna Cut You Down.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at the Chevy Mustang. Really simple. At the Chevy Mustang. Give me a follow. Let's interact.
And now, Chevy Mustang reads a joke.
All right, it's joke time, everyone. Soren, can you bring up my level a little bit in the headphones?
Bjorn Duke? Bjorn Duke?
I'm sorry, Bjorn.
Okay.
Either way, really, I just need a little bit more level. Let's not get stuck in the weeds. We're live. All right, let's read the joke. How many Germans does it take to screw in a light bulb? One, they're very efficient and not very funny. This, I've got to say, Soren, you always get good jokes on the show. This is probably the number one joke you've brought on. I can't believe how funny this is. I'm terrible at remembering jokes. That's why I need to read them on the show. But I'm going to really practice this one to do it from memory. Because I have a feeling if I bring this to like a party or something and say it, or like maybe I'm having dinner with people that I've just met or something like that, or on a date or something, and then I do this joke, I really have a feeling that it would get raucous laughter. Because, oh my God, I almost want to read it again, but I know we're running out of time. But what a good joke. Anyway, this concludes the joke section. Let's get on with the next part.
Yeah, well, Dad, you think you can fuck with something like this?
Yeah, what you mean, something like this?
The Antwort, Fatty Boom Boom.
Yeah, that's Buff. Can I need do that thing?
They gon' make fear, like a smack in the face. Rappers are fucking boarding in your bashing the planes. What happened to all the cool rappers from back in the day? Nowadays all these rappers sound exactly the same. As like one big inbred fuck fest. Now I do not wanna stop, collaborate or listen.
Jimmy, 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 hold on to your chin. I'm taking over America, blowing up everything. Physically fit the ninja, very energetic. If you haven't got a bottom,
yeah, you're never gonna get it.
I whip my dick out and piss on all this horrible fucker that I brought her offshore to count. I stack you, fuck it up. I'm sorry, my China, we not related. I come there fast, like the first time I ejaculated.
Air party boom boom, hit me with the ching ching. I fuck a king king, dollar eye twinkling. Just a pizza chunky, let's suck it to funky.
Suddenly you interested cause we're blowing up overseas.
Much money, money, money.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, all they proceed.
Fucking with the best.
I'm a upper.
When keys get popped like a sucker.
Fucker, fucker. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. I'm a big deal. You can see my nigga frowning at me. Now I'm having so much fun that I can't even go to sleep.
Yo, Randy.
What?
Where you at?
Here I am. Spreading fucker lyrics like bam, bam, bam. Air party boom boom. Hit me with the ching ching. I fuck a king king. Dollar eye twinkling.
Top 40 with a 40-year-old in Bjorn Duck.
This is Rex Orange County. The song is called 10 out of 10.
I like this song a lot so far. And we're only at the beginning. You know what this reminds me of? I have a nephew named Gordon, and he does this thing. He just figured out how to use Pro Tools. And this is a program that music producers use, and with it they can sing, and it doesn't matter if they're a good singer. They can just sing it, and then they can tune the vocal to make it sound just absolutely perfect, like sounds like this fellow did. Anyway, my cousin Gordon, he does this, and he's just learning how to sort of create a melody. He can play like a couple chords on the keyboard, and he started to read his diary entries. He's singing about things like wishing his mom would not come into his bedroom without knocking, and then it makes him feel despondent. And he'll write about his friendships and his relationships with like his little girlfriend. It's uncanny. It's like if you pressed pause on this song and then pressed start on one of Gordon's songs, I think you wouldn't even know that one song stopped and another one started. But long way of saying I really like this. It's very high energy. I think it's good. I think it's good.
So Chev, this is a band called Kalia, and the song is called Break My Baby.
All right. Interesting. That unmistakable voice. I love the Black Keys. And a lot of people feel the need to like take sides with the Black Keys and the White Stripes. Here's my two cents on this one, okay? And I don't mean to just wade into hot water right now, but hey, it's my show, I can do whatever I want. The Black Keys actually were doing it long before the White Stripes. They were creating this sound that has now come to be called the blues. A lot of people don't know that, and they wrongly, in my opinion, give all the credit to Jack White. The truth is, Jack White, and this brings me very little pleasure to say this, but I believe he actually sold his soul to the Black Keys. A lot of you guys are familiar with the myth, the devil went down to Georgia and the pathways and crossroads, etc. Well, Jack White, I mean, look, bless his soul, haha. If he still had one, which he doesn't because he sold it to the Black Keys. I mean, obviously he's done well in his career, but at what cost? Honestly, at what cost? It's like the Black Keys come out, they did it first, they did it with gusto, they did it with gravitas, they did it with grandeur, they did it with black jackets and leather. Do you know what I mean? And Jack White is coming out here in a t-shirt and a choker necklace. Like, what are you, Dave Grohl? I have zero respect for Jack White as an artist. As a human being, fine. He's probably great. He's probably a good guy. I'd probably go have lunch with him, and that would be fine. I'll tell him jokes and whatever. I'm just saying, as an artist, I have less than zero respect for him, because an artist like the Black Keys comes out, invents the blues, and then Jack White is going to literally sell his soul to the Black Keys to get the blues from them. Give the blues back, Jack. Give the blues back, Jack. Do the right thing. Be better. Especially in this time right now. I think a lot of us are doing some inward looking right now. And I think, Jack White, I'm talking to you, buddy. And I'm saying this with love. Even though this might come as like sort of a rude sort of shock to your egoic structure, give the blues back to the goddamn Black Keys, you motherfucker. Okay, because a lot of us see you and know what exactly what you're doing, and we're not going to let this continue to go on and on, okay? So I come down firmly and staunchly on the side of the Black Keys in this argument. They invented the blues. Light me or fight me about that one.
Freddie King going down.
Are you following me on Twitter yet? Are you following me on Instagram yet? If you're not, the handles are at the Chevy Mustang. That's at the Chevy Mustang.
And now it's time for Dear Chevy, Help Me Help Myself.
First question is from Sarah, S-A-R-A. Dear Chevy, huge fan, somehow. Thanks so much for everything you're doing, and also...
Ignore that little quip, listener. He wants attention, so just ignore it.
Okay, here we go. Thanks so much for everything you're doing, and also, I'm not sure you remember, but you commented on my Instagram post a few days ago reminding me that I need to...
I don't remember, and if I... I mean, honestly, I can't remember every single message interaction that I have.
Can you let Sarah get her question out,
absolutely.
Please?
Let's get on with it.
I'm not sure if you remember, but you commented on my Instagram post a few days ago reminding me that I need to focus on visualizing your struggles and that through that, I would find strength. It really worked. So my question is kind of random, but do you have anything you're looking forward to doing once we hopefully get out of this quarantine situation?
Great question. Visualization is a very, very powerful practice. And hopefully you took the advice that apparently I gave you in the message. When you sort of take on, all right, the persona of someone who's more spiritually developed. And I don't say this to be derisive or to diminish you in any way. That's why I'm your teacher and you're not mine. Right? It stands to reason. I mean, I'm not writing you questions and asking you about spiritual principles and axioms to apply to my life. You're doing that to me because I'm your teacher. Right? So a little humility. Anyways, what was the question? Nonsense?
Question is whether or not you're excited about getting back.
Ah, yes. No, I remember now.
Once quarantine's over.
No need for you to say more words, for God's sake. All right. I'm very excited for the end of quarantine. All right. I think, like we all are, I really look forward to the day when I can darken the door of the bright light of the outdoors. All right. And so a couple of things that I can imagine wanting to do, like right away. I mean, I'd like to go to Disney. I love it there. I love Disneyland and I love the whole ethos of the place, really. I love just the consumerism, and I love, it's just the overt, just wow, boom, bang, ooh, bam, bam, commerce. That's the spirit and the power of America. And I think Disney really encapsulates that.
I want to go to Disney. I want to spin and cycle.
So I'd like to go to Disney. I'd love to meet my parents. My parents I haven't seen in a little while since the quarantine. I could really use some more scented candles.
I want to keep a secret. I want to read the Bible. Why?
I'd like to read the Bible more. Could I do that at home? Sure. Do I like to do it at home? No. I like to go to Starbucks. Everyone reads spiritual books in their own way. All right. I'd like to break the flowers, get out there, do some gardening, solve a mystery. I'd like to keep a secret. I'm not very good at it. Why? I'm an open book. I would like to have a baby. All right. I have many. I'm trying to have a baby of every different ethnicity and race and religion. And that's what I'm trying to do. When a being comes from your loins, the love you feel for them is immeasurable. To be honest with you, after like my sixth or seventh child was born, the effect started to wear off a little bit. I wouldn't call it diminishing returns, but I wouldn't say that I experienced the same sense of tearful elation as I did when I saw my first half a dozen kids come out of their respected mothers. Now I'm rambling. All right, so let's just get on to the next question. Would you like to ask Chevy Mustang a question? Do you need my advice about something? Well, you can get it, and you can get it on the radio. All you have to do is go to ChevyMustang.com and hit the button that says ask me a question or something like that. And then my interns will go through all the questions and provide them to me, and I'll answer them for you on the radio. Sound good? Thought so. I'm guilty about everything that I eat. All right. Feeling myself. I like this. It's got sort of a boppity boppity bop 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 kind of a vibe to it. What is the title of this song, Soren?
Yeah, my name is Bjorn. This song is called I Love Me, and it's by Demi Lovato.
I Love Me. Oh, no. This is the song. Oh, come on, Demi. Ah, all right. Funny story for you. Not so funny, really. So I did a reading for Demi over the phone, and she told me, Chevy Mustang, you are the inspiration for this song called I Love Myself So Much or something like that, which obviously maybe she adjusted a few words in the title now, but same idea. She read me the words. She said, Chevy, I couldn't have written this without you. I said, Demi, tell you what, these words are great, but you're not ready to sing this song yet. You're not ready to put this out yet. When you can call me up and you can read the lyrics to me like you believe every single word that you're saying, then you're ready to put the song out. And now I'm hearing this song. She obviously didn't tell me because she feels ashamed of it, but I told her don't put it out yet because you can tell in this vocal that she wasn't ready to sing this. Do you believe her right now? I'll answer that. No, you don't. And for good reason. I told her, I said, Demi, reread 10 and 2. That is one of my essays and it's available for purchase online. I said, read 10 and 2. It teaches you how to become a 10 on the inside. Okay? Not on the outside, but on the inside in 2 weeks. If she had just waited 2 weeks to put this song out, I think it would be... And she just said the F... Okay. Honestly, I need to go on to the next song because I told her about that too. If you want to really reach people, you can't use these cheap, gratuitous moves like saying the F-bomb and stuff like that. Now, hearing that really fucking pisses me off because I specifically told her not to do that. Let's go to the next song. I'm finding myself... I don't want to have to do another apology next week like I had to do with that man from Blink. I don't want to have to do that again. And I'm feeling myself getting very worked up. I'm feeling myself getting very angry about this because I told her specifically, wait 2 weeks. She's singing this song, and do you know what she sounds like? A little baby chicken. A tiny little duck chicken. And I don't believe it for 1 second. I would rather listen to a duck squawk and quack in my ear than this.
Okay, this is going to be a bit of a different one. This is a Slowly We Rot by a band called Obituary.
All right, wow. Feeling a lot of power from this track already. The band hasn't even kicked in yet. Listen to that beat. My goodness, there's so much rage in it. I absolutely love it. So much power. It's got like a Nordic feel to it, sort of a Scandinavian vibe. I'm feeling like a Viking right now on the hull of a great ship, screaming into the void. Ah, I like it. I like that vocal. It's a very pretty melody. Yes, I like this melody a lot. You know, it's so important in songwriting, and a lot of young bands don't get this these days, what with their professional tools or whatever you want to call the things that they use, the cheat mechanisms that they have for producing music. This is obviously a band that sits down with an acoustic guitar, probably like a Takamine or something like that, and really fleshes out the song. And you can tell by the final product. You can tell when an artist does this and when an artist is just sort of making music in the box, so to speak. I'm loving the melodic value of the song. I'm really loving the content. I'm getting every word, and it's working on me. It's really working on me. I love this tune. I'd like to hear more from this band. What are they called, Bjorn? What's this band called?
Band's called Obituary.
I like it. It's dark.
The song's called Slowly We Rot.
Slowly We Rot, right, sure. Well, that, right. And we all do. We all do. None of us here on this corporeal plane are going to make it out alive. And that's okay. We're all in the body. All of our bodies will fade and become less useful to us until eventually they are of no use at all. And then we will transcend them. And yes, our bodies will rot. They will. They'll rot in the ground. They will. Bugs will eat them. We'll be in the ground and the bugs will eat our bodies. And eventually, that our bodies will become food for the grass and the plants. And they will make the plants grow and spring in the spring. And this is lovely. And I think the artists have always pointed to sort of, you know, the macabre aspects of being human. And I don't think they necessarily do that to scare you. I think they're doing it to point to a deeper truth. And this is most certainly a case of that. I can tell, listening to this group of young boys, that they obviously have done a little bit of spiritual homework. I can tell. I know it when my students have done. I know it when my students do the reading. I know. And if they tell me they haven't done the reading, then I say, thank you for being honest. Do the reading. If they tell me they have done the reading, but I can tell they haven't done the reading, that's when I get angry. That's when I get mad. and I will get mad. I do not stifle my emotions. I might stifle my reactions. That's all we have control of, is the way that we react. But I don't stifle the feeling. So oftentimes I'll be speaking in a very measured tone, just like this, all poise, all under control. But underneath the surface, behind my face, in my brain and in my heart, is a seething, white-hot rage. Really great group, great artist, great song. Let's get on to the next one.
Mike Seeger, John Hardy.
Killed him a man on the West Virginia line. You're the seen John Hardy getting away. Seen John Hardy getting away. He went on across to the Eastern Bridge. There he thought he'd be free. But up steps the sheriff and takes him by the arm. Says, Johnny, come along with me, poor boy. Johnny, come along with me. Come and go his bail, but there were no bail on a murder charge, so they threw John Hardy back in jail. Threw John Hardy back in jail. John Hardy had a pretty little girl, and the dress that she wore was blue. She threw her arms around his neck, said, Daddy, I have always been true. Daddy, I have always been true. I've been to the east and I've been to the west, traveled this wide world around. Been to the river and I've been baptized, and I'm on my hanging ground. I'm on my hanging ground.
Make sure to sign up for Chevy Mustang's newsletter. Go to chevymustang.com. Here you will get all the latest up-to-date information about Chevy Mustang, my teachings, and my hit records.
Chev, this is 30 Seconds to Mars, Love is Madness, featuring Halsey.
All right, I just have to say, right out the gate with this one, I find this vocal utterly repellent. Like, it's actually grossing me out. I'm having sort of a, oh, I like this. Who's this singing right now? I like this voice.
This is Halsey, Chev.
This is Halsey. Halsey. All right. Well, you know what I might do? Because I think my manager has her contact, and I might reach out to her and ask her if she could send me a version of the song without the fellow's voice on it and with just her voice on it. Because she... Oh, good Lord. Why is he doing that to my ears? Ouch. And ow. I don't... Look, it's not painful because of the volume level. It's painful because of just... I don't know. It's so disingenuous. It's so crassly blech. I don't know how to put it any other way. Now, this fellow, correct me if I'm wrong, Soren, is he an actor? Is this the boy who is in all those movies that were actually okay?
Yeah, his name is Jared Leto. He's an actor. He's won an Oscar.
Ah, so I knew there was a through line here, because Jared Kushner is actually close friends with a friend of mine named God. Not God. Not God. God. I've seen a couple of his films, and he's actually quite good as an act. Lower the volume of the track. I'm honestly bristling with antagonism right now. I'm finding it's difficult to even do my job, and that's what we're here to do. Okay, so that's much better. That's not nowhere near palatable, but it's bearable, sort of. All right, so this is a common thing with actors, okay? Lean into the speakers. I'm going to tell you something very true. This is what happens with actors. They get treated so well, and then they say, oh, music? I can quasi carry a tune when I'm singing along to Linkin Park on the radio, which obviously they're a big influence for this fellow. And then, next thing you know, Jared Kushner thinks that he is really number one. He's signing a record deal with Capitol. There's a bidding war. RCA wants him. Elektra Records wants him. Reprise Records wants him. Sony Records wants him. Sony Red Records wants him. All right? And then, now he's really high up on his britches. All right? And he's like walking around almost like he's on these stilts, which this boy probably does walk around in stilts. I've seen some of his outfits. He like wears the crown of thorns and thinks it's like really cool and edgy. I'll tell you what, it's a little edgy. Not very much though. It's not that edgy. It's not edgy to the point where I say, oh, now your music's good. Because it's not. Okay, the music's not good. And here's the thing. I'm very connected with musicians and all sorts of musicians and artists in LA. And they all think that he is a big joke. And I want to say this one more time. This Jared Kushner fellow is a hack. And I don't like him. Nobody does. All right, everyone. We're going to end this episode with a meditation. I want you to take a few deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. And then just let your breathing become normal. And today, I want to do a visualization exercise. I want you to close your eyes. Continue breathing through your nose. And I want you to imagine, to visualize Chevy Mustang's face about an inch away from yours. Keep your eyes closed. Don't try to peek at me. I want you to feel my presence. Feel my proximity. I want you to feel my magnitude, my magnanimous presence. I'm so close I can smell your breath. It smells like beef. Ha ha. Continue to breathe through your nose. And now, as you visualize Chevy Mustang right in front of your face, I want you to also visualize another Chevy Mustang right behind your head, 1 inch away from the back of your head. Can you feel my breath on the back of your neck? Good, then you're doing it right. Now, I want you to visualize another Chevy Mustang. Matter of fact, while we're at it, let's do the last two at the same time. 2 Chevy Mustangs flanking you, 1 on each side. Both of these Chevy Mustangs are also facing your head and are extremely close, about an inch away from your ear, are these Chevy Mustang noses. Feel these Chevy Mustangs. Do you feel a tingle in your body? That's good. You're doing it right. Now I want you to focus your attention on your heart chakra. Space in the center of your chest. Feel that sensation. Allow it to be as it is. Now I want you to visualize all of the Chevy Mustang heads moving in front of your body, all in a row next to one another, right in front of your chest, blowing on your chest chakra. Right in front of your chest, blowing on your chest chakra. Right in front of your chest, blowing on your chest chakra, like this. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. Does it tickle? Good. You're doing it right. All right, students, I want you to now open your eyes slowly, blink yourself back into the light. back into the day. And whatever it is you have to do next in your day, I want you to take this feeling that you have with you right now with you. Okay? I want you to carry this piece with you, and I want you to carry these Chevy Mustang heads with you wherever you may go. Know that Chevy Mustang is with you, protecting you and guiding on the spiritual path. The Chevy Mustang.